Kellen ministered for us one morning of camp. So that's a first of many, I'm sure.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Hey, I don't think I can cry anymore, so I think I can get through this. This is like my eighth year and my second year as a counselor here, and I'm from Louisiana, and I come up every year for this camp. So, I can cry. It's coming. last year, I was able to like minister to kids. Like I don't know why I hadn't been able to do that, but like I started to be able to do that. This year, I got word. Like I got words. Like I was able to speak. I spoke on Wednesday, and I spoke about regret because that was just on my mind a lot. Like it was like that's been forefront. And so I spoke about regrets. It was short and sweet. It was like 2 minutes. maybe, if that. So I spoke about regrets and just doing things before something happens, because things happen and you'll regret not doing something. So I spoke about that, and then like three people later, a lady came up and talked about regrets. And that was just like confirmation for me. A big confirmation. And we talked about it, regrets, because we had the same word. And that just meant a lot to me. And my favorite thing about camp was ministering to kids and being able to tell them things that God gave me to tell them. And that just meant a lot. And I love you guys, always. And I think that's it. That's all.
All right. I think for me this year, I really saw that the waves coming back. You know, we talk about how our ministry goes out, and then that their ministry then grows, and it's coming back. But you know, I thought this year, I remember being Carolina and Georgia's size, and Roger Legg was my camp boyfriend every year. Until I was about 10. Until I was everybody's camp boyfriend. But I mean, I was little. He was so gracious about it. And he would let me sit on his lap or whatever. But he had a connection to my dad. And through that connection to my dad, he was very kind to me. And as I grew, he became a spiritual guidance for me. And there was a connection there. And through my life, there have been times that I've reached out and just, you know, had him pray with me or asked him questions or whatever it was. And when his kids started coming to camp, I just loved on them, because to me, this was an extension of the connection from Roger to my dad and from Roger to me, and now from me to Tori and Zach and Ben. And Thursday night, as I stood and I was talking to Tori and I was just praying with her and just loving on her. And we stood here for probably 45 minutes, her and I, just loving on Jesus and just working through some things. And the first thing she said to me when she came up to me was, "Can I just say how much I love your boys?" And I thought, God, 30 years ago, you saw fit to put a connection between Roger and my dad that went from a connection from that to Roger and me, from now, from me to Tori, from Tori to my boys, that in another 30 years, another 10 years, my boys will have somebody to go to for that guidance, for that spiritual connection. And how awesome is that? Is that 1 week a year, through that, we've made these connections that generationally will change our lives. And I was so grateful for that, because it was just awesome. All inspiring to me that God, you knew 36 years ago that this moment right now, she would need me. And because of the connections before that, it was so easy, and she felt comfort. And I know that in 10 years when my boys are at camp and she's coming as a counselor, that they'll know exactly who to go to when they need some spiritual reassurance. And I just want to thank God for those connections. And so don't think that that kid that you were nice to for a week, that it was worthless, or that it didn't mean anything, or that it was just a kid you were nice to. Because your generations will see the importance of it, and they will see the power of God in those connections that you made in 1 week.
All right, who wants to go next?
Okay, this is first year I got to spend a decent amount of time at camp because of work issues. For people who don't know me, I suffer from PTSD, or did. This week, it's gone. Done. Since 1993, I haven't slept more than about 3-4 hours a night. Makes it very hard to live off of that because of the torment and the mental issues I suffered from. When Monday, I came to the altar service. It was finally time for me to just hand it over and let it go. God took it. I haven't had any wake up in the evening. I've slept for 5 days straight in the evenings without getting up. And I go to bed and I don't get up until the alarm clock goes off the next morning to go to work. So to me, that may not seem like a big step for a lot of people, but to me that is a miracle because I've suffered without sleep since 1993. So it makes my house a whole lot more comfortable to be in right now, and it makes my world a whole lot easier. So if there's anybody out there that says that PTSD can't be conquered without the medication, I've never been on medication. I came back from Iraq, Desert Storm, and all the VA wanted to do was medicate me. Yeah. I refused the medication. Yeah, I struggled with it. My kid, Sam's here. He's seen what it did to me. My wife, for 10 years, has had to deal with it with me. And it got easier, but now it's completely gone. So I just want to thank the good Lord for it, and it is a miracle for me.
Every now and then, that youth camp thing sneaks up on the adults. Because it's for young and old alike. Who's next?
I have no voice, so sorry you guys had to hear me sing one of my best moments. This year for camp, it's the first year in 2 years that I've been able to be back and be fully a part of it, all the services, all the sessions, and really jump back in because the last 2 years I had to work. And but, you know, I've been a counselor for, I think it is 6 years now. And at first, you know, I felt like a counselor and I felt cool and all that, but there was still not that. I still really identified more with the campers than I did with the counselors, and that was kind of how I was seeing my perspective, was through the eyes of a camper and not a counselor. And then I had 2 years off, and so I just wasn't a part of it the same way, and you know, I was still here, but not in the same way. And so this year, I got to really be back in it, but in those 2 years off, I really, I think, shifted more out of that camper perspective into the counselor perspective, and I got to see camp through a new lens this year that I hadn't before, and I made a lot of connections this year. I didn't know any of the campers the last 2 years because I wasn't here during the days to make connections, and during the days and in the dorms, that's where you get to know the campers, playing volleyball with them, in the dorms, talking and laughing, you know, in the morning service when you're doing team games, that's when you get to know the people. And so this year, getting to be a part of that, I got to really make some connections with the campers this year. And they were a new bunch, so they were as new as me coming back. And so it took both of us just making that effort to reach out to each other. And so, first of all, that was really cool because, you know, I took on a lot more responsibility this year, too, on my team. I was the only camper or the only counselor from Word of Deliverance. And while my other counselors were great, they really kind of put that leadership for our team on me. So I really kind of got to take responsibility in that. And then when we were playing volleyball, there were two counselors on my team. But the other one, she was brand new, didn't know anyone. They came in late. So those campers really kind of looked to me. And then having our youth this year and leading the dance team, I really felt just a sense of responsibility to them. And I got to step back this year and watch. You know, I was still a part of it, and I was still a part of the prayers and altar service and ministering, but I got the chance to step back and see what they were doing without me and see what type of responsibility our campers took on and our youth. And I cannot say how incredibly, truly, and deeply proud of our youth I was this year. All of our youth from our church this year just blew me away. We had two trophy winners. One's in the house, Olivia, Most Spiritual Growth. But we had two trophy winners. Most of our youth was nominated for them. And I just saw Olivia and Caitlin and Paige up here ministering to each other. I saw Dakota and CJ just in a full just mode of worship the whole week. And it was so amazing to see that growth. And after we did our dance on Wednesday night in Fresh Outpouring, I got told by several different people how the Holy Spirit was just flowing out of Olivia when she danced and how it was just pouring out of her. And to hear that and to hear how our youth took on that place where they weren't just the kids sitting around anymore, that they were the campers, they were the youth, they were the ministers this year, and to watch that and to see that and to be a part of that and know that it had nothing to do with me but just how great God is and how great our kids are here in this house and how lucky we are to have the youth that we do. And it was really cool to get that new perspective of camp this year, to see it through a different lens. And it really blessed me in more ways than I think it would have if I were the one, you know, being ministered to and being prayed over, which I did get some of that. But, you know, it wasn't the same amount. And I think I got more out of it this year watching the kids step up and getting to make the connections with the kids from other churches that I didn't know at all and getting to, you know, just really make some connections this year. So that was what was really great at camp this year for me.
Hello. So I guess this was my sixth year at camp because I counted. I don't think I missed one. But this is my sixth year. And it was really good, and I felt like, for me especially, all the messages were very intertwined, and they all had a root, and they were all like kind of out here, but they all stemmed back to the one root, the same place. And I really like what Pastor Neil said about the God of the process, because I know a lot of times in the process, like, a lot of us are in it, like, I'm heading off to college, first year ever, woohoo! That's a process. It's scary. And I mean, you know, has anybody in here ever felt down or sad or confused? Me too. me too. And so I was just really thinking, like, you know, when you're going through life and everything and you're just really, you know, you're confused or you think you're doing something right, but you're not really sure, or should I do this, or God, why is this happening, or, you know, whatever. In life, and you're just confused, and you don't know what to do, and you just struggle with how to go on with it. And then that was happening for me. Jeez, okay. For me, because there was just a lot of things in my life that I'm like, what do I do there? Do I do this? Like, why did that happen? Like, how do I handle that? And Thursday night, I guess it was Wednesday, Thursday night, Madison Blazer gave me a word. And she told me that God was well pleased with me. And that just really hit home for me, because there's just so much stuff a lot of times that you're like, God, I'm, you know, I feel alone, or am I doing this right, or how do I go on? And then just to have that confirmation that I'm well pleased with you. And she also told me that that I would walk where this, I've just got a lot of things in, like, floating around my brain that are just like, I don't even think that they're connected, but it's fine. she also told me, her and Jeremy Morris both gave me a word about angels, and he told me that I was, whenever I would dance, like, the angels would flow around me, and they would just be lifting me up when I was in my praise. And Madison asked if she could anoint my feet, and I know Morgan did that with Nathan, and that was just a really big thing with people this year was, can I anoint your feet, like, this with the whole path of adventure, whatever, like, you're going to go places, like, I'm going to anoint your steps and where you walk. And Madison also told me that I would walk where angels were too afraid to walk, that I would lead people where people were afraid to go, but through me, they could get there. Hallelujah. And it was really a really big confirmation for me just to know that when I think about things, you know, or I do these things that I may be confused about, that he's pleased with me and what I do. And that was a big thing. And also, completely different new topic. Jay Kavik actually came up to me and his girlfriend, he brought his girlfriend to camp, Cece. And last year, the year before, me and Jay both wore our Star Wars camp shirt, and we took a picture. It was like, this is so cool, you know, whatever. Just thinking, you know, this is nothing. It's not a big deal. It's just a picture to remember, just a little memory. Well, he came up to me, and I hope he's okay with sharing this. it's fine. it's fine. He said that when he made his profile for online dating, that he put that picture on there because he wanted people to know his experience at camp. They wanted to know that he was a nurse, that he traveled, his motorcycles, all sorts of that kind of stuff. And his girlfriend actually messaged him because of that picture and was like, you know, this is a great picture. This is my favorite one. I really like to see how you connected through your youth camp and how you connect with the kids and stuff. And he thanked me because he said if it wasn't for that picture that I took in this house at camp a year or two ago, they would have never been together. And I just want to let everybody know, and anybody who listens to the podcast, the things that happen here, they make differences. Like Hannah with the generational, like the bonds you create, they change people's lives. I changed his life. I mean, I just wanted everybody to know that a simple little picture could change anybody's life, and just to enjoy the things here at camp, and that they really do mean something here, and I'm grateful for the house that we have here.
I already started crying before I even got up here. We're gonna try and make this more like comedy night instead of let's just get up here and cry. No. Amen. And it's so hard to talk and cry at the same time, man. Try not to snort. No. Yeah. Deep breath. Okay. So I asked God at the beginning of the year, kind of my New Year's resolution. I'm kind of like, Lexi, there's a lot in my head this morning. I asked God at the beginning of the year to make me more aware of his voice when he was talking to me. I'm not one of those people, he talks in my ear and I know what God's voice sounds like. I haven't been lucky enough to experience that yet. However, he does talk to my heart. He talks to me in dreams. So I ask God, if you're talking to me, I really need to know that this is you. Because Trish called me Jonah the other day. I've been identifying with Jonah for a little while. When he calls you to Nineveh, sometimes that seems like a big place. And Jeremy Morris had said something about playing Madison Square Garden, and you know, you guys who know, that's a big arena. And so when I asked God to speak to me more clearly, he called me to Nineveh. He called me to some pretty big things. And I wasn't, I'm still not sure that I can handle it. And so sometimes we pack our bags. See, I'm not convinced that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. I think he wanted to go. But I think he was scared. And sometimes when God calls you to a new thing and you're not used to it, sometimes it takes a little bit longer to get used to it. So even though he was going to Nineveh a different way, sometimes we pack a lot of things in our bags because we think we need it. And we forget that when God calls you to Nineveh, that he's already packed your bag. That the only thing that you need to take with you is him. And along the way, even if you're going by Tarsus, is that where he was going? Okay. That along the way, there's still going to be storms in the ocean. It happens. God created it that way. But you get through it. Sometimes you get seasick. But that happens. And you can't let the storms and the seasickness and the time, sometimes, the process, make you forget that you were meant to go to Nineveh. And so going back to asking God to speak to me more clearly, and I also asked him to tell a friend. And I know, you know, that's kind of identifying with the Thomas, because, you know, we have to tell friends just to believe something. But I told God, please tell a friend so that if I hear something from you, that I have the confirmation in my heart, and now I can activate that, or I can act on it. And do you know what he did? He told lots of friends. A couple years ago, Jarno, some of you may know Jarno, spoke to me and about some things musically and being able to heal people, and that's a big Nineveh. That's a big responsibility. And so I was scared of that responsibility because, you know, it's like a baby. You bring it home and you just pray, like, please, God, make it through the night. Like, it's a big deal. And so I was like, okay, well, so I started packing my bags. All right, this is what I need. This is what I need. This is what I need. And then, so then I kind of got worn down because, you know, the storms and the seasickness and that thing, those things get to you and life gets to you. And then this week, I was kind of upset, bummed that I didn't get to stay for much of the altar service because you have kids and they have to go home and get to bed and all those things. And Kevin took the girls home that night, and it was after the kids, some of them had gone down to the dining hall, and some of them were sitting up here, and service was kind of over, and I was just coming up, sat down beside Mom, and was just kind of listening to the worship. Wasn't really, like, you know, engaged in praying for the kids. I was just kind of up here. And Jamil, the bass player, called me out by name. He said, is Beth in here? And Morgan came and got me, and he kind of spoke that same word that Jarno gave me about healing and being someone in the school system that people look up to and can go to. And so I was like, oh, okay. He told a friend. So I've been trying to act on that. So I'm being brave, and I'm on my way to Nineveh, and I'm chucking some things out of the boat that I packed that I didn't need because he already gave me the luggage that I need to go. So if you're going to Nineveh, hang on, put your patch on. Don't touch your eye, though, because it gets real weird. Chuck your luggage. And it doesn't, and sometimes we think God has, you're, this is going to be this huge massive explosion of his spirit, or, you know, but take comfort in knowing that it's the little things too. If you let him talk to you in the little things and you figure that out, it's a little bit easier and you can take those steps. And so I'm glad that we have this every year. It's so refreshing. It's good to meet new kids, see the old ones. So definitely a blessing. Amen.
Favorite thing about me with camp was the bouncy house, and I just
is it back on? That was the best sermon I ever heard on Jonah, by the way. And then a whole new perspective I just got on that.
Okay, so I just want to start out by saying, what a year already, and it's only June. It's just been a... It's been a year for me. Sorry. Up until this week, I wasn't sleeping. I had a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of unsettling stuff in my spirit and in my mind, and I just want to tell you, this is the first week that I've slept without having to use oils or having to pray myself to sleep every single night. Or even take a Benadryl sometimes. And it's the first week that I've felt normal. And that was really just my prayer since February 7th. And he's answered more prayers than just that one. But for me, that was what I needed this week, and I got it. And I'm so thankful for that, and I'm going to continue to live in that. I refuse to go back. Okay, I think I'm good now. I just had to get that out of my system. Okay, so now I'll go to the happy stuff. All right, so... I second what Brooke said, first of all, about our youth, because they're incredible. They're just amazing. I've never seen anything like it. They just bless me so much. And like Brooke was saying, you know, being the new dance leaders this year and being Sunday school teachers this year just really, really, really blessed my heart. Because I know it's not me, but it's God working through me to help touch these kids. And it really, I mean, that's what it's about, you know. Sometimes you don't always think, like Beth was saying, you don't always think you're qualified, or you don't always think you have what it takes because you have stuff going on, or, you know, you're not perfect and this and that, but God still works, you know, no matter what. Also, I like what Lexi said about the God of the process. Actually, Pastor Neil said it, but I kind of saw it a little bit differently. Actually, I was playing Candyland with Georgia and Carolina a couple weeks ago when I was doing... hair at Beth's house, and I was just kind of like, it was the Princess Candyland too, by the way. The best kind, right? So we were playing, and I was just kind of like, I just felt peace playing the game. I know that sounds silly, but I was just really enjoying playing with Georgia and, you know, hanging out and having a good time. And as Pastor Neil was, but I didn't really know why. I was just kind of like, this is weird, like, it's Candyland. Whatever. So then Pastor Neil was speaking about the God of the process and stuff like that, and I I just had Candyland just kept coming in my head for some reason. And actually, this morning, driving to church, I still didn't have anything to say. So, still really don't. So, but we were driving to I was driving to church, and he just kept showing me the game in my head. And I think a lot of times, you know, you want to be in love with God of the process, but sometimes I'm too in love with the God of the process. So almost where you're comfortable, and you don't move. You just sit in that process, and you don't do anything. And I'm really good at being stagnant, and I'm too good at being stagnant sometimes. And it's a lot of times out of fear or doubt or, you know, you don't know where to go next. And so, you know, the game of Candyland, you know, you have the cards, and they have the different blocks on them, and you have the game board and everything, and you can't see the cards. You just pick them. You know, so you pick a card. Sometimes there's one colored square, then sometimes there's two. And then sometimes there's little icons that are at the beginning of the game, at the end of the game. But the goal is to get to the castle. And, you know, you don't really know. You're just picking cards and, oh, that's good. You know, I'll just take a little step. You know, you just go one square. Sometimes you pick up, you'll go two, you'll leap really far. Sometimes you get the icons that are way back at the beginning. So you travel all the way back. You know, sometimes they're really close to the end, but by the end of the game, no matter if you have to go through the deck five times, you're going to get there. Yeah. You know, eventually it's going to work out, and it's going to work out for your good, and I just, that was really, I don't know why, but it's really empowering for me to know that no matter how many cards you have to pull, no matter where you have to go, you have to take a step, though. You have to jump. You've got to take that extra leap. If you don't know, you know, God's always talking to you, and it's up to you whether you listen, how you listen, but you've got to take a step, whether you don't know if it's to the right, to the left, front, or back, but he's always going to follow you there. And so that really just resonated with me. And for me personally, it's to stop being so in love with the process and just be able to take a step and get where I need to go and, you know, make some decisions and that you don't always want to make. But I know that... God's got it under control. So I'm just so thankful for this house and everyone in it and for the grace of God and move on my life this week. And I love everyone.
She began to raise her hands and was enthralled with the music and with the spirit. Don't discount the drawing of God at her age, because he touches the youngest to the oldest. And I think sometimes as children, we're even way more sensitive to that than we are as adults. As adults, we want to blame it on everything else or think it's because of somebody else or something else is drawing us. But there's a drawing of God in her life that has been ordained of her. That child was not born by accident, but by divine calling.
I was, I think, the first one. I'm not positive, but close to the first one ever in camp. And, of course, I went through all the process and got the words and stuff, and so it was really exciting for me, and I knew I needed to give him space also, but he really wanted to be here and say this himself, but he sent it to me in a text to tell you guys, because he had to leave this morning to go to Boy Scout camp. But he says that church camp changed my life, and I will never forget the friends I met and how much I was able to build on my relationship with God. I was anointed with the Holy Spirit for the first time here, and with all my friends around me, I knew I would not be judged for the way I expressed myself. I will come back to this camp every year just for the feeling you get when you come together with this many Christians. It just feels right. That is all. Thank you. but he really had a lot, and I missed a lot of it because I knew if I was here, it might have changed things. But I was told by Mom that he was sitting there with a bunch of boys when Lynn said to come up for the altar call. And when he finally did, he looked to the right and the left, and it's like nobody's moving. So he jumped out of his seat and went up front. And he really did get a change and stuff and difference in him. And he's very, very happy to come. And he's going to be here every year. And he made lots of friends. And he's been talking to them and hoping they'd get home safe because they had problems and flights and stuff. So it's very awesome to see it generationally happen in our family and stuff. So thank you guys for everything. You know, you're awesome.
Send that to Jeremy or get me a copy of
it. Hi. So I don't really have much planned to say, so I'm just going to kind of flow with it. So camp really changed my life in many, many ways. And God was just talking to me all week about these two words. It was release and receive. Because sometimes you just got to release your fears and your negativities in your life to receive him and everything he can do for you. And you got to release it all to receive everything from him, and just stuff like that. I don't know.
Okay. At camp this week, I made new friends, and I had a good time. My friends really helped me out this year, and that's all I have.
Can you stand there and help them do the cheer? Can y'all do your scripture verse from camp? Can all you kids come up and do your scripture verse from camp? Can you remember how Mr. Balloon Guy taught you how to do your verse? Is you there? You gonna do your verse? Yeah. You back there? Solon, you want to come do it? Come on.
Come on with this, Morgan. Come on.
There he comes. Here he comes. These kids were awesome this week. Somebody else want to share something? Adults or kids, campers, whatever.
All right. So this year at camp really changed me for the past few days. It's been... He's really had a change in me, and the few years of camp I've been here, I've had an experience with him, but not like I have this year. Thursday night, I was out and about around here, you know, just praying for people, making sure everybody was good, and Stephen prayed over me, and he was like, "I feel a fire in you," and I was like, "All right, you know," So after he was done, I went over and talked to Lisa. I was like, "Hey," I was like, "can I talk to you after this?" And she said, "Sure." So once everybody was done and everybody was just kind of around, I sat down and talked to her. And I told her, I was like, "Lisa," I was like, I don't feel it. And before I even said anything or got anything out, I just lost it. I couldn't contain it. And I just just started bawling. And she's like, well, obviously you feel something. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess so. And so when I was sitting there, Ricky actually came over and started praying for me. And I just lost it even more. I just couldn't contain it. It was literally, it was the best feeling I've had in years. And this year has just been a blessing to me.
Whitney was there. She was waiting on the table. She got us our drink and our ice. And I said, did you have fun this week? She said, I sure did. I said, did you make a lot of friends? Yeah. I said, everything was good? Yeah. She said, I loved the food. So one of the campers really loved the food this week.
I wasn't going to say anything. Because I could say a lot, along with what Beth, is it too late to say that that was my favorite moment of camp? Because God told me a long time ago I was going to go to Nineveh. And he told me that he was going to put me on the backside of the desert for a reason, and that I'd been on the backside of the desert for a reason, because I would touch people that my family couldn't because they'd not been there. Most of you know, I went to rehab almost 2 years ago. And sitting there, withdrawing on the airplane, waiting to take off, I looked over and I saw the plane next to me. And my thought was, that looks like a whale. So I guess I'm going to Nineveh, and I was headed to Arizona, so I'm headed to the desert. And while I was there, not everything went great, but a lot of things did. There was a couple of the women that were there with me that were schizophrenic, and one of the ladies would hear voices and hear screaming and different things a lot. And when she would have these things come to her, she would sit and hold her head and just rock. And I would just hold her, and I would just pray, and I would rock with her. And I would sing to her, and it got to where she would come to me when these things started happening. And there was one day that I had laid down to take a nap, and the girls came and got me, and they said, she's not responding. She's just laying there with her eyes open. I don't know what's wrong. But she won't talk to anybody, and we don't know what to do. Can you come see if she'll say something to you? And so I came out, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? You know, there was a step down into the room she was in, and as soon as I stepped down on the floor, I heard what she was hearing in her head. I don't know why God let me hear it, but it was the most horrible thing I'd ever heard in my life. I thought, I cannot imagine doing this almost every day or even weekly or monthly. It was just a horrible, horrible audible sound. And I said, Teresa, are they screaming again? And she said, yeah. And she looked at me. She made eye contact, so I knew she wasn't like. And then I just told you, there's a lot of things more I could tell you about that experience, but I just told you last Sunday that I was in the hospital recently, and I was in for 11 days. I had 6 different roommates before I left, and the last one was a little old lady who was having some issues with starting with dementia and things like that. And one night, she was awake for most of the night, and I would talk to her, and I would try to calm her down, and at one point, she said, I'm scared. And I was in my bed at the time. I got up out of bed and I went over to her and I just leaned into her. And I prayed with her and I sang to her. And she fell asleep. Another thing was that God told me at one time I would be a mother of many. And I thought when I adopted my son that, okay. When he decided to go back to his biological family, it was an open adoption. I thought, why, Lord? You know, why did you bring him into my life to take him back out? But he's coming back little by little. But I never thought of it in the way that, you know, when I would cradle Teresa from Arizona in my arms, that I was a mother figure to her as well. She didn't have a mother. And I had the best one. And even this little old lady in the hospital, she may not have had a great mom, I don't know. But she just felt like a child to me. And I've often asked God, what is my calling? You know, because you said that there's a call in my life since, you know, I was in my mother's womb. And I thought that it was that I was going to be a mother to men. But it wasn't the way I thought. Yeah. And you're talking about the God of process. You know, I've often thought, you know, God, why had these things happen? I was dependent on my prescription medicine. You know, just the being sick all the time, being in the hospital. But, you know, maybe that's the process. Maybe that's the belly of the whale, you know, that I made it through all of those situations. And maybe this is just my process. And I'm, yeah. So that was my favorite part of camp, Beth. So just know that even on the last day, and just you feeling like maybe it didn't mean anything to anybody else, it did.
We always think going to Nineveh is a bad thing, but I love when she was sharing that, with that when others throw you overboard, God prepared a fish for his safety. When others had thrown him overboard, that held him until he could get to Nineveh. So yeah. That's a good stuff.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'm so thankful for camp, and kind of the same thing as Morgan was saying. I was really like, before camp, I was really okay with where I was at, and I never like ventured out, or even, I don't know, I just never really made too much, like I was really comfortable with where I was at. I never really felt like I know that it was right to do more, but I never felt like I needed to do more, if that makes sense. And at camp, I realized that there's so much more that I could do. And I can go so much further. And I'm so blessed, and I'm so thankful for this camp. And I thank you guys for being my friends and my family. And I love you all, and that's all.
Amen. Too late. I'm super proud of our youth and our young adults this year as well. Sometimes youth ministry feels a lot like pulling. Yeah, feels a lot like feels hard and all those things. And it didn't feel as hard this year. And I think that's how it's supposed to be. I think when you do what we try to do here, which is empower people to rise up and walk out their calling, I think. it makes it a lot easier because then they feel empowered to do what it is God's called them to do, and the stress and the pressure of feeling like it's constantly on you, you don't have that, so that's good. So I'm so thankful for those people here who have stepped up and taken responsibility for things. Because you get so weary. And I'm just very thankful. I'm thankful to you, Jamie, for taking over drama for me this year. I'm thankful, Morgan, for you helping her to do that. Thankful for all you guys who have stepped up and done all kinds of different things here this week. But as far as the camp experience goes, you know, being back in the dorm this year was really fun, being able to spend time in the dorm with the girls and all of that. Brooks, right? I mean, that's when you get to know people and you get to laugh and you get to make fun a little bit of, you know, different things. And you know, you get to have that real experience and where memories are made. And so it was just it was a good year. And thank you guys so much.
I just farted on my way up here, so. Good. That's what I learned at camp. I'm just kidding. That's my girlfriend right there. I know. I met her at camp, like, a long time ago. Yeah. But I wasn't smart enough, I guess, to snatch her up then. It was good though. Actually, though, I waited until after camp. So, to all you boys and girls, stick with the rules, and you'll get a good one after camp. Anyways. This year's been a good year for me with Chi Alpha and stuff like that. I'm not going to do a plug, but it's been good. And I've learned a lot of things and got to kind of step into kind of a pastoring role on campus and just everything that comes with that. And so it's been really good. And so coming into camp, though, like, I don't know. And I wasn't, like, apprehensive, but, like, I don't know. This was a good year for me just to receive a lot of things, which, you know, it wasn't like I came into, like, expecting that or anything. Like, I think it was, like, the first night or two, like, John Scarpato came over, and he's like, dude, he said, I have a word of encouragement for you, and, like, started saying all these things that were really hit the nail on the head. And, like, because, I have, like, a plan for, like, the next 2 years, but I don't have a plan after that. And I was like, well, I don't know, God, what I'm going to do. And I don't know why I've been worrying about it, because it's 2 years away, but it's kind of been like, well, you know, what am I going to do after that? Is there something else? Where am I going to live? Like, I don't know. He was just speaking some things and just like, we're really good, and just saying that, you know, and these things up to this point have just been a part of that process and stuff. And then Marvin came up, and Marvin, he's a kooky little guy, he came up and was, like, saying the exact, like, well, not the exact same things, but really close to the same thing, and just, and I was like, oh, okay, dang, you know, thanks, Marv, and we hugged for a while, and That was cool. And he was just, it was just really encouraging. And so, like, that was good. And I've kind of been, I don't know, worried lately that just, like, just praying for people am I really, like, you know, like, just doubting just the God in me and stuff, and just doubting, you know, am I doing anything? Like, and really, it's not me anyways, it's God, but, like, just, like, I pray, and, you know, what's going to happen? And this is, like, I'm a pseudo-pastor, and so, like, that's not, like, good things to have, but, and just, like, but this year, I was just praying, and I was praying for Dakota with Jeremy, and just hearing him, you know, that testimony, and just seeing that. And then I prayed for Eden, and I was like, I went over and I was like, hey, are you up here to try to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? She's like, no, I'm just standing up here. And I was like, all right, well, can I pray for you? I feel like I need to pray for you. And so I prayed for her, and then she got up, and I was like, oh, dang, I guess stuff happens. And so it was really cool just to see that, you know, and just to see, hey, you know, Caleb, I got you, and you're doing what I'm telling you to do. And I've had a lot of doubts of, like, am I hearing God? Can I really, you know, am I really hearing him? And so it was good just to have confirmation of when things are happening that I am listening to the Holy Spirit lead me, and I am listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and just that it's not, you know, meaningless. And I'll tell you another one, just because, and not because I'm like, oh, holy man, you know, but I thought I had a word for Daniel and Daniel Heron, and so I started speaking to him, and then I was like, oh, I'm not done yet. So I went back over, and I did that, like, three times. But just, like, just the way that he received it in his heart, and just seeing it on his face and stuff, and I was like, okay, you know, and all right, God, that was right, that was you. And so it was a really good year just to say, I'm hearing the voice of the Lord, and which is good, and because I'm like, I don't want to, you know, be a pastor and not hear the voice of the Lord. And so it's like, well, that's good that I can, you know. And so it was a really good year for that. And I had this, I'm just going to tell you my whole camp experience, I guess. but yeah, Amanda Isabel, she was like, my name means, I can't remember, honestly, but she said something like, my name means worthy, yeah, there. And I was like, and she was like, I didn't think that, and I've been, you know, and doing blah, 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 but I know that now, and my name means worthy, and stuff. And she was like, if anybody else wants to come and give me a hug, you know, come. And I was like, man, I really feel like I should give her a hug. And I was like, man, should I tell Brooke before I go over and give her a hug? and I was like, and so I kind of just, like, hesitated. And that night, I didn't go over and give her a hug. And I was like, dang it, I'm really, maybe I'll talk to her later or something. And then, like, the next night, she was, like, always beside me for some reason. Like, I'd move around or she'd move around. That lady would always end up right beside me. I was like, all right, whatever. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. And I was like, hey, what's up? No, I didn't say that. I was like, hey, this might be weird, but can you pray for me? And I was like, my name's Caleb, and it means bold and strong, and I just feel afraid a lot. And so she prayed for me, and I don't know, you know, and it was good, and she had a word for me, and then Eden went up the next day and was like, Caleb prayed for boldness for me, to be bold, and Amanda came back, she said, to pray for her to be bold, you had to be pulling from something. And so God makes us bold, and my name is not a mistake. You know, it's not a mistake that my name needs bold and strong. I might be skinny, you know, and I might sometimes be afraid, but God has given me a boldness to overcome that and a strength to carry things that other people might not want to carry or can't carry. So that was good. And yeah, I don't know. Actually was reading this is weird to say too, but me and Mom were cleaning out my room the other day, and I had a letter from an old girlfriend, sorry. And it was like, and she was taking Hebrew, and she's like, your name comes from Kal and Ev, which means whole and heart and stuff. And, which you know, so Kalev means whole heart and stuff. And I was like, that's awesome. You know, and she was just speaking, an ex-girlfriend, this is after she broke up with me, was like speaking like words of encouragement to me through this like letter and stuff, and about my name and stuff like that. And it didn't, like, I was like, oh, okay. And then like having, you know, this week, and it just came to my mind again, and again, that's not a mistake. I mean, I was ordained for that name and stuff, and it's just really good, really, really good. And I saw something the other night, and I wasn't gonna say it because it was before I got prayed for boldness. So this was back when I was 10. No, but it was, and I was like, I don't know, is that real or not, or am I just like making that up in my mind? So I'll just say it, and you guys can decide if it's real or not. But literally, the one night, and again, you know, use your own spirit of discernment. But I saw, like written in scripture, like fire resting on people's heads, and just that coming out of their mouth, and like, I was like, oh dang. All right, well, maybe I just made that up in my mind and stuff, and so I was like, well, I won't say it, but literally, and I don't know, you know, but the Lord just showed me there's the Holy Spirit resting on people and stuff, and it was just really cool. So I just figured I should say it before that and stuff. And that's gross. Sorry. I'm not trying to just stay up here. Buddy, sorry, I held you in the head. This is for Brooke, and I'm not trying to be weird or anything, but the other night I felt the need to pray for you, and so I came home and prayed for you. But what God was saying, I don't know if I said it specifically, but and it's terrifying for me to say because I know it's hard for you, and just, but I'm not asking you to marry me, so you guys don't have to get out of the cameras or anything, not yet, but but I really felt God say when that dance of the lady with the issue of blood, and I want to, you know, I felt like he said within 12 years, like the same thing, that you have a healing in your life and in your body. Within 12 years. And I was hesitant to say it as bluntly, as plainly as that, because I was terrified that it wouldn't, you know, be it. And it wouldn't, and that would just something that I wanted or wouldn't come true. But I want you to know that that's what I feel like the Lord saying to you. Within 12 years, there'll be healing in your body. Dang, Somebody take this mic from me. It was a good year. It was all good bunch of boys. There's no pennies or anything being thrown at the night. They were all well-behaved. Went to sleep on time. They were laying in their beds by 11 o'clock. I was like, all right, I guess I'll just turn off the lights. It was good. That's all I got. I mean, I could probably keep talking about it.
I just wanted to say that this camp experience was the best experience. About the pebble and the rippling. I can remember as a kid, the first year I came here, I don't need that, by the way. Great. The pebble and the rippling. I remember as a kid, the first year I came here, I guess I was 14 or 15, and Pap said that. And I'm a visual learner. Sad college. Be a visual learner. That's why it took me 8 years. But I'm such a visual learner, and for Pap to say that about the pebble and the rippling all those years ago, and he would always say that those that are here were chosen. You didn't come here by chance. None of you kids came here by chance. Kellen, you're here. Kayson, you're here because of Mama and Papa. And because of that church in Ohio. Had a connection here. And it goes right back to all those connections. Hannah, all of that. So because of my mama and papa and that great legacy, my kids are here. And your kids' kids will be here. Because this will still be here. Amen? I am done. But Kayson's not.
I already went. But bless the Lord.
You don't need to say anything. Did I say it for you?
So I've been thinking a lot this week that Pap always used to say, what Connie said about, you know, you're not here by chance and this was a divine appointment. And I always sat over here and thought, like, yeah, you guys are all here by divine, but like everybody else. Because I'm here either way because my parents are going to make me come. You know what I mean? Like I'm not getting out of it. Like, I'm just here. Like, I was already here. But you guys were here by divine appointment. You know what I'm saying? And I really believe that for everyone else. And wholeheartedly, but I never thought about it like that because I was already here, you know. But I was thinking, we were joking off and talking. I was talking to Steve Montanato's daughter in arts and crafts, and I was telling her about like funny stories about him and stuff. And he was a camper. And then we're talking about the different songs that he would sing and stuff. And after the kids all left, I said to Sonia, I said, you know, I kind of forgot that that song that he used to sing, Sing a Simple Song of Love, I said, that got me through my pregnancy. I was out of bed once a day, and I would get in the shower, and I would sing that to my babies. And I didn't know if I would have them long, but I was thankful for them when I had them. And I wanted to sing them lullabies. And I was thankful for God for, you know, at least blessing me for a time with children, even if it didn't last. And that really, like, that's what, like, got me step by step through that, was drawing from something that I heard as a child in camp. And when Pap died, you know, that's shaking. When, like, your spiritual leader, I mean, he was my pap and I loved him, but, you know, he was like, you know, that was like my vision of God almost, you know, was in him. And to see him die, that'll kind of rattle your cage. And so when we were doing the funeral, and I felt like I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to say I want to say something, you know, because, like, everybody wanted to say something. I mean, Pap. So we were planning and singing and everything, and the girls were like, well, someone should say something. And I'm just kind of like, Aaron, you should say something. And I was like, okay, because I really wanted to, but I didn't want to volunteer and, like, you know, because I felt like everybody else had something to say, too. And I was kind of struggling with that, and so I wrote this whole thing, because that's what I do. I don't like to talk. I'd rather just write it and let somebody else read it. And I had so much peace, because when I stood up here to talk, and I started, and I thought, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I wanted to do this, but I don't know. And I looked up, and I saw Roger sitting there. And it was so comforting to me, because I felt like, oh. And then Steve's family, everyone was coming in from Ohio and stuff, and I thought, oh, it's okay, because all my family's here now. Hallelujah. You know, and it's not like I'm even that close with them. I don't even talk to them that much throughout the year. But I felt like Roger's here, like, okay, my cousin's in from Ohio, you know what I mean? And I felt like, okay, all my family's here now, so it'll be okay. And, you know, I think about Esther. And I had said a few years ago, a long while ago, I think it was my first year as a counselor, about how Esther went before the king, and she, it was divine appointment, and she was, and it was Mordecai had told her, you know, what if you're here for such a time as this? You know, what if you're here in this place in this time? Thank you, baby. For this moment. And I had said to the people from our church that were starting camp this year, what if you're here and this is your time and this is your moment and you're not here by happenstance because you have been called for this and this is your time. And again, I said to everyone else, this is your time and you have been put in this position and stuff. And I guess God has just been telling me this week, like, oh, Aaron, you've been preaching to this everybody else all this time, like, didn't you realize that I put you here too? And that's comforting, that's reassuring, because sometimes I don't know where I'm supposed to be or where my place is and that kind of thing. But it's nice to know that, you know, Pap was talking to me too, and you know, this is my place and this is my time, and I don't know where that goes from here and where I'll all go, but just to know that God's put me in this place and he's got my steps ordered, and there is divine appointment in that, and that I was always a part of that too. It's nice. So
let me just say to you, you said that the songs he sang as a counselor ministered to you at your greatest time. And you don't know the year that Leah has had. And it's been a very trying and struggling year for her. So for you to be kind and to joke and to love on her was ministering to her and her greatest time.
Amen. Anybody else?
I'm not going to get sappy this time. No, I'm really not. I just want to say kind of, it's been 36 years, right, since camp was started. And I know that for a lot of people, especially everybody that's been here for all 36 years, it kind of feels like old hat when you're getting ready and you're pulling everything together. And even though there's an excitement about it, I think that sometimes you're kind of like, well, it's another camp. We got to do this. We got to do that. And, you know, get this ready and that ready. But I believe it was Wednesday morning when the kids were sharing. And anybody who was here knows what I'm talking about. And if you weren't, I really hope it was recorded because most of us counselors sat in the back and bawled like babies the whole morning because of the testimonies that the kids had. And so sometimes what seems like old hat for us or routine for us, even though we get blessed, is really, really a big deal for them because this might be the only time that they get that nurturing that they need. This might be the only time that they get the love that they need where they are accepted 100% unconditionally. It doesn't matter what their past is. It doesn't matter what they have done. It doesn't even matter what they're doing right now. When they walk in these doors, they're loved for who they are. And it's a pure love that's being shown to them, and it's very important. And so when these kids come up and they say, like Leah, that you don't know the year I've had. You know, kids are mean. But they come in here, and there's 100-plus kids. And those 100-plus kids don't care. They don't care who she is or where she's come from because they love her for who she is. And so anytime that I think any of us get overwhelmed or feel defeated or just like, oh, here we go again, another camp, let's get pumped up and ready to go.